week, I was reflecting on this. Can you imagine what it must have been like for those shepherds that first Christmas night? I mean, just think about it. More angels than could be counted, singing with an authority and a beauty in such thunderous fashion that it would make the Messiah, sung and performed by the greatest choir in the world, sound like a grade school Christmas program. What must that have been like? These guys had spent the entirety of their lives hearing about the coming of the prophesied Messiah, and then to come to realize that they were just one of a handful of people that were to be told about his miraculous arrival. You know, other than Mary and Joseph, these guys were the first people to lay eyes on God's miraculous plan to redeem humanity that had been in place since before the world had even been created. I was thinking about this week. I can't think of a greater honor that could be afforded to anyone in this world throughout history, right? Than to be given that privilege. Yet God chose shepherds for this honor. Shepherds. We don't even get their names in the Christmas story. There wasn't anything special about them. There's no indication that they were more religious than anyone else, that they were more worthy than anyone else. Gabriel told Mary that she had found favor with God, but no such pronouncement was made about these sheep herders, right? Not at all. They were some of the lowest of their society that did one of the lowest and most humble jobs of their society. When they had the opportunity to suddenly witness a worship service in heaven spill over into the dimension of our world. Wow. And the news of the Messiah that heaven had held on to for so long finally just burst forth. And the greatest journey ever taken, the journey from the throne room of heaven to a manger in a barn, had taken place. Yeah, top that experience, Disney World. All right? And here's the question I want to explore just for the next couple of minutes here, and it's this. Why did God want shepherds to know that Jesus had been born? Why shepherds? And I'm not sure that we can answer that question definitively. I mean, God might have a reason that's beyond our understanding, but I have a couple of thoughts for us to consider today about why I think God might have wanted these shepherds to know that the Messiah had arrived that day. Here are our key verses of the day, and if you want, you can follow along. There's an insert in your bulletin that has notes, and it's up to you if you want to follow along there, but you're welcome to do that. It's found in Luke chapter 2. It says this, "Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you'll recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.'" Here's our key thought of the day. Just want you to be thinking about this. We're going to be here maybe 10 minutes here, but God is constantly providing opportunities for people to know and experience him. That's kind of what I grabbed from this story. God is constantly providing opportunities for people to know and experience him. And that's the whole purpose behind Jesus' arrival all those years ago, that first Christmas, and the gospel stories that we read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are also that we can have this window into the heart of God. How does God feel about things? How does God react in certain situations? How does God feel when we are experiencing difficult times in our life? We can answer those questions by looking at, well, how did Jesus feel? How did Jesus respond? The whole purpose of his arrival. John writes this in John chapter 1. He said, "So the Word," that's Jesus, "became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." So God is continually seeking to reveal himself to us, and he does that in a profound way, probably the most profound way, in the person of Jesus. So what are some lessons that we can learn from these shepherds about God's desire for us to know him? Got a couple things for us to consider here. Why the shepherds? Here's the first one. Number one, God doesn't discriminate in the sharing of his love. You know, shepherds were just about the lowest caste of society among Jesus' day. While their job did require a certain element of courage because they would have to be able to protect the sheep from thieves and from predators, it really didn't require any type of special skill set. There wasn't, you know, a university for shepherds that took place in Jerusalem, all right? And shepherds, they lived a solitary life. They think about it, too. They lived with sheep out in the open. That meant they probably didn't really smell real well sometimes. They were usually, actually, in their society, kind of viewed as outcasts. They were uneducated. Many times, because of their solitary lifestyle, they were socially awkward. You know, when Moses wanted to hide from the authorities in Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian soldier, he hid as a shepherd because of their solitary life. Yet these are the ones that God invited into the birthplace of his son Jesus. These guys. Listen to what Isaiah prophesied and just consider that this is the person that the shepherds met that night. For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. That's who those guys met. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of all things. So here's the lesson I think we can learn here. Lesson number one. I think it's this. No one needs to fear meeting Jesus. Listen, those shepherds left the fields and went to worship Jesus. They didn't even clean themselves up. There were no showers. Luke 2:16 actually says they hurried to the village. God revealing himself in Jesus to shepherds is a reminder to us that anyone can come to him. We don't have to seek to clean up our lives first. God is available to anyone who would receive the love that he wants to give them. See, I believe God went out of his way to make sure that we would understand that everyone is loved by God. That doesn't mean that he approves of everything that everyone does, but everyone is loved by him. And we can come to him in whatever state we have in life, no matter how broken we might be, and know that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he accepts us, and that ultimately that he'll forgive us. And it's pretty remarkable when you see a transformation happen in a life like that, isn't it? I remember a young lady once in a previous church that just experienced Jesus in this way. She came to a church event that had been planned because someone had invited her. And when she walked into the room, it was obvious just from her appearance that, you know, she was different than everyone else in the room. I'm not saying that was good or bad. I'm just saying that she was different. She was dressed differently. I remember she had a stocking hat on that she had pulled down over her eyebrows. She had longer hair, and her hair was in front of her face, tucked in there. You could not see her eyes or into her face. She wouldn't talk to anyone. She wouldn't look at anyone. She sat as by herself as she could, just with this friend. And when she took off her coat that night, you could see the lines in her arms where she had been cutting her arms with razor blades. Some of them were scars, and some of them were fresh. And she was part of that event that night. And another person at that event took some compassion on her and spent some time with her and shared with her the message of Jesus. And before that event ended that night, that young lady gave her life to Jesus. Can I tell you something? You would not believe the transformation in this girl. It was unbelievable. Even from an appearance standpoint, she stopped covering up her face. You could look into her face, you could meet her eyes, and there was a glow in her eyes that had not been there before. And when she would take off her coat, you would still see the scars from where she had been harming herself, but there weren't any fresh ones. I remember talking to her about 6 months after she had given her life to Jesus and become part of our church and was just hearing more of her story, and she said, you know, that night that I came to that event that my friend invited me to, I said, yeah, I'll go to that event, but when I go home, I'm going to kill myself. But that night she found Jesus, and what a difference it made. Can I assure you of something, folks? It doesn't matter how broken you might be. It doesn't matter what baggage you might have in your life. It doesn't matter what you have done, or maybe things that you think you should have done that you haven't done. Everyone is welcome in front of Jesus. Everyone. And I think that's one of the lessons that we can learn from these lowly shepherds. God doesn't discriminate in His love. Here's the next one. Number two, God extended an invitation to people that He knew would accept it. I love this in Luke 2:15, 16. It says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. Can you imagine a scenario where these shepherds heard this story in such a miraculous way that they heard it with all these angels and the angelic choir and everything else, and they heard this story, and then they say, I don't know if we should go see this baby or not. I mean, can you imagine that? Can you imagine a scenario where they go, oh, yeah, Bethlehem's a mile away. It's dark. It's late. It's cold. Yeah, that was kind of cool, but let's just go to sleep now. I mean, I can't imagine this. Wild hyenas and a mote of excrement would not have kept me from Bethlehem, right? If I'd have been there, I would have gone through anything to it. Are you serious? To experience what they were told? Nothing would have stopped them. Was it risky? Yeah. I mean, it was dark. It was late. They were going to leave their sheep behind. They were going to poke around town at 2 a.m., do that in Willard. Someone might take a shot at you. It was risky. But who would pass up an opportunity like that? What did that angel say? A Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born in Bethlehem. Are you kidding? That Bethlehem? Oh, I'm there, right? I'm there. So here's the lesson. To meet Jesus, we must act on what we heard. We must act. I like what John writes in John 1:12. He says, but to all who believed in Him, talking about Jesus, and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. You know, just like those shepherds heard the message of Jesus' birth and responded by going to see Him, we have to act in a similar fashion. When we come to understand who Jesus is and what He's done for us and the sacrifice on the cross, we need to respond to that message. Here are two ways that I think that we can do that. First one is this: we accept the grace-given gift of Jesus. Paul writes in Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we respond to the free gift of God by seeking the forgiveness of Jesus for the sin in our life. Sin that would ultimately lead us to death, but when we know Jesus is our Lord and Savior, the penalty for those sins is removed because Jesus made the payment for those penalties upon the cross. And that's how we respond to that message. We embrace that truth. We don't just hear about it and go, oh, that's nice. We say, no, that's life-changing. That's from death to life. Are you kidding? Here's another way. We choose to live our lives for Jesus. You know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul writes, so we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of His call. May He give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. I love that verse. You know, choosing to live for Jesus means that we live a life worthy of His call, that we seek to apply His teaching to our lives and then live like He would want us to live like. And that ought to lead us to be able to do good things for Him and in His name. Remember when those shepherds heard about who had been born in Bethlehem and nothing was going to keep them from going and seeing Jesus? And I want to do that in my life. I want to respond and act to Jesus that way, that nothing is going to keep me from living a life the way that He wants me to live my life. You know, I have a friend who, 28 years old, about this tall, little blonde young woman. And she sensed that God was calling her to be a missionary for a year in a really difficult place in the world, a difficult and a dangerous place in the world. She was willing, as a 28-year-old young woman, single, saying, if this is what God has for me, then I want to choose to live my life the way God wants me to. If this is what he wants, then I'm going. That's 10 years ago. She's still there. And I think if Rebecca was to write her life story, to be honest, she'd probably write it different. You know? But she's choosing to do life the way that God wants her to do it. And God has blessed her and given her so many opportunities for the kingdom. So God doesn't discriminate in his love for people, and he extends to us an invitation to meet and to know Jesus. Here's the last one as we wrap up here. God wanted to use them as messengers to the people about the birth of the Savior. I love how these shepherds respond in Luke chapter 2. Verses 17 through 20 say this: after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. Think about that for a minute. I mean, think about what they experienced. How supernatural and, you know, just unbelievable that experience was. And what do? They run around. They tell as many people as they can about it. How do you think a lot of people responded? Right? These guys must be crazy. Are you serious? Oh, yeah, an angelic choir. Heard that one before. As a matter of fact, it says, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Take the word astonished how you want. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. And the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen. It was just as the angel had told them. You know, have you ever thought about this? The first missionaries to attest to who Jesus was were these shepherds. They're the very first ones to tell the message of Jesus. And they told everyone. And here's the life lesson for us, I think, today. Christians must announce the message of Jesus to the world. I like what Peter writes in 1 Peter 3. He says, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. That's first. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, live all out in your relationship with Jesus. Just make it obvious. And there are going to be opportunities then for you to tell people about who Jesus is and how he made a difference in your life. You know, Christmas might be the easiest time of the year to explain the hope we have as a believer in Jesus. Let's seize those opportunities like the shepherds did so long ago. I don't know what opportunities might be presented to you, but can we seize those opportunities when they are? Did you hear the story this past week about what happened in a Walmart in a little community? Did you hear about this story? So there are a bunch of folks, you know, like they do at Christmas time. They want to make Christmas gifts, but maybe they don't have all the money that they want to make those gifts. So that Walmart has this nice layaway plan, right, where you can like put the gift there and pay on it, or you can just kind of hold it there and come pay, you know, at the end when you're going to pick it up, which is what most people do. But some person went to this Walmart and paid the bill for everyone's layaway at the whole Walmart, $45,000. Okay, drop 45 grand, and everybody who showed up didn't get a bill for the gifts that they'd laid away. You know what they got? They got a note that said, Jesus paid the price. How cool is that? I don't have that kind of financial means in my life. Be pretty cool if I did. I'd love to do stuff like that. And maybe I'm making an assumption that's incorrect. Maybe that was this person's entire life savings. I don't know. But they saw an opportunity where they said, I can get the message of Jesus out. And so they took it. And I just got to believe God's going to use that in lives. I just do. Why the shepherds? I think because God loves everyone. And he's calling people to himself to follow him. And he expects those who follow him to be announcing his arrival. And the little challenge here is, how can you be doing that over the next week and a half? How can you be seizing those opportunities to do that? Let me pray, and then our team is going to lead us in our closing song. And as I pray, can I just challenge you this way? Maybe if you're not, you know, you've never, you know, become a follower of Jesus. You've never asked him to forgive you of your sins and claimed him to be that Savior of your life, that maybe today could be an opportunity for you. And you could pray a prayer, something like this, not out loud, but in your heart. You could say something like, "Dear Lord, thank you for coming. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Would you forgive me of my sins? Would you help me to live my life for you? Today I'm placing my trust in you." Can I tell you a couple of things? If you prayed that prayer, you've taken the first step in being a follower of Jesus. Just the first step. But it's an important step. And then the second thing is that the worship service that spilled over into our dimension that the shepherd saw, the Bible tells us that when somebody invites Jesus into their life, that's what happens in heaven. Pretty cool. Lord, thank you for giving us the greatest gift ever given in Jesus. This Christmas season, Lord, help us to really understand that, to really embrace it in our lives. And as you give us opportunities, Lord, may we be light in a world that has become so dark. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.